Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Red Sox win their first game against the Giants, going up to a record of 40 wins, 37 losses, guaranteeing that by the end of this series, regardless of the outcome, we'll be above 500. 7-5 was the score. Dobbins had a bit of a meltdown, but the rest of the team knuckled up. I'm Nick the Voice, joined tonight by Charlie Smith for a little bit of a late night recap for the Bastards of Boston. And if you want more, you can go to bastardsofbostonbaseball.com for great written articles just about every day. So, Charlie, where do we want to start with this one? A lot happened, that's for sure.
Yeah, we can start with the fact that the starting pitcher, Hunter Dobbins, who I'm not going to fault for one stretch of the imagination after he baptized the Yankees twice, had a really funky line, walked the bases loaded, had allowed 3 earned runs, 4 walks in an inning plus, and only 1 hit. It was a really funky line. And truth be told, I was pretty annoyed in the first couple of innings, you know, to go down that quick 3-0. But, you know, the atmosphere with this team has changed dramatically with the loss of one player. Of course, the return of Willie Abreu, and that was very, very welcome after, you know, his offensive output today. But, you know, Dobbins just didn't have it today. At one point, they said he had 13 pitches in the inning, only 1 strike. But I think it was just unlucky. And you know what? I'm not gonna say anything bad, you know. I know that I can sometimes be negative just like everybody else here, but I mean, who isn't with this team right now this year? We were able to do what we need to do. The atmosphere is a little bit more positive. And, you know, even our starter who allowed 4 earned runs in 4 innings and walked 5 didn't get the loss. So I'm happy. What about you? What was your initial take from this?
You know, although Dobbins had a meltdown, you know, you can say that the starting pitching just wasn't there tonight. But for every other aspect of the game, this was probably one of our more complete victories, I would say. The bullpen really knuckled down. Zach Kelly showed up. Bernardino had a great inning. Yep. Wilson was good. Really, Whitlock was the only one who looked shaky, and even he escaped the jam.
Right.
The defense was pretty great, aside from Hamilton's bizarre error very early on, which he quickly atoned for, thankfully, with just a mammoth blast to center field, just a no-doubter, which, I mean, it's like everyone says, David Hamilton, when you think of David Hamilton, you think power to center field, right?
Of course,
absolutely
naturally.
Ridiculous. Yeah. And then, I mean, just a great offensive performance from the guys, just a really, really good win, and one that we desperately needed. You know, the fact that we can afford to lose this series thanks to that sweep against the Yankees. We can afford to lose this. And we'll wrap up this ridiculously tough 15-game stretch 40-39. I didn't think these guys had what it took, and they do, clearly.
Right.
And I agree with you. The vibes, how can you not be in on this team? It's just, I want to hate them. I want to throw my hat away. I want to say I'll never forgive this front office. But when you got dogs out there, when you got Dobbins and Crochet, Chapman, Slayton coming back, Weissert, and that's just the pitching staff. When you got Duran, you got Narvaez, Anthony, all of these guys, it's so hard to root against them.
Right. So a couple other things to touch base on. Your bullpen came out, struck out 7 over 5 innings. You did have to use 6 relievers, so that's a little bit of a cause for concern. Bernardino did come in. There was, if I'm not mistaken, there was one inherited runner, and he allowed that runner to score. Mm-hmm. So that's still a little bit of a problem. But again, you have a very, very taxed bullpen. So that's one point. Point number two, I said I would not cheer for, or not, that's not the right word. Not that I wouldn't cheer for this team, but I wouldn't believe in this team like until they start to win again. I'm starting to believe again. And I didn't think I would this quick. But if the Red Sox don't win this series against the Giants, the narrative is the Red Sox can't win without Devers. And there was a stat that kind of came to play that Rafael Devers, when he was here in Boston, had 54 RBIs in 64 games. I have to double check that because I want to make sure I'm not misspeaking. My apologies, 58 and 73, but we all know how he started the season with, 0 for 20 and like 20 strikeouts almost. It was really, really bad. So give or take like 3-4 games, 58 RBIs, 68 games. It's almost a 1-to-1 ratio there, one RBI per game. We at one point had the second most one run losses in Major League Baseball. I think only to the Chicago White Sox, who are a dumpster fire of a team. And so the narrative would have been, well, the Red Sox lose. They drop 2 of 3. They lose 2 of those 3 games by one run. Well, if you had Rafi Devers in the lineup, you at least maybe have a chance to tie that game, maybe go up by one. You would have had it. But the Red Sox were able to take this game, a crucial game, a must-win game, even if you lose the other two. I don't care if we lose the series, as crappy as that may sound. You won game one. You won a game without Devers. On top of that, you made Rafael Devers look a little silly. Now, his fly out, I believe in the 3rd inning, deep fly left field. Was it Sadon that caught it up against the wall? Yeah, it was pretty nice, right? That's a home run at Fenway Park. That was not a home run in San Francisco. So you're seeing now that Devers isn't going to just be able to be the home run pitcher that he was or extra base guy alone as he, that he was in Boston. He's going to be a major extra bases machine. His first rip was a deep rip in a right center field. That's a triple for 70% of people. That was an RBI double for Devers, and that's where it was. Off we go, off to the races. He's going to be a doubles monster in San Francisco. The homer numbers are going to take a dip. Now, that strikeout in the 9th inning against Aroldis Chapman, I do want to talk about that for 1 second. 100 miles an hour up and in, pretty intimidating, pretty scary. The very next pitch that he saw, it looked like I'm just going to flail at it. And what it reminded me of, Nick, and I don't know if you've seen this at bat in particular, and if you haven't, for those listening, if you haven't seen it, look up Randy Johnson, Larry Walker at bat. And that's all you have to do, and you'll know exactly what happens. Larry Walker saw, I think it was like 103 or something, it sailed over his head, and he comes back into the box, and he flips his helmet around and wears the helmet like Ken Griffey Jr. That's literally how I saw Rafael Devers. I thought in my mind, he totally has you. You are not getting out of that box and you are not going to first base. And everything is starting to click. Aroldis Chapman last year walked 39 guys, struck out 97, 98 guys. It was almost 100 dudes. This year, 40 walks or 40 strikeouts, 9 walks, and an ERA of 1.41. He is as elite can be. That's the 9th inning. You've got that locked down. I am, again, so content that this team was able to win and an unorthodox manner. You already talked about the error at second base. David Hamilton could probably walk to get to that ball and he'd make the catch. And it was so uncomfortable to see him not get it. You could tell it ate at him. But it was something with second base today, because the second baseman for the San Francisco Giants also was bobbling balls and created opportunities for the Boston Red Sox. Hamilton, to your point, was able to make up for it with a two-run home run. And, you know, deep shot, I thought, oh, okay, that's a good crack. That's extra bases. I did not think it was going to be a home run because, like you said, when you think of David Hamilton, you think of a home run. Not quite, but I will take it. And like I said, I was annoyed we were down 3-0, but we came back roaring, and it was kind of the teetering, you know, okay, we get a run, they get a run, we get a run, they get a run. And then it stopped. They would get people on base. Like you mentioned, Garrett Whitlock, a little bit of a rough inning, was able to get out of the jam, thank goodness. But things started to click. And I think that's going to be what happens with this team. At one point they mentioned when Jarren Duran gets hot, Jarren Duran is one of the people that the offense is going to run through. He's chaos. He is the definition of chaos. A single is not a single to Jarren Duran. To most people in the majors, it is a single. To somebody like that with wheels for feet, it's usually two bases. And he had this really nice move where he's, you know, second baseman, shortstop, if they get to second base, they can't block the plate anymore. That's out. So Jarren Duran is to the right and just kind of sweeps the arm in there, makes it look real nice, and he's in. He's good. So, I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, what point. Yeah, we're still striking out a lot, and that's frustrating. But Willie Abreu's back. Yes, we lost Devers. But you know what? Dude, you're dropping seven on a pretty good team. The Giants are not a bad squad. Three of the best teams in baseball are in the NL West. You got the Dodgers, you got the Padres, and then you got the Giants. Diamondbacks, not anymore. They lost Corbin Burns. I think it's over. Colorado Rockies, LOL, bro. But I'm going to get off my soapbox because I really do want to hear some of your insight on this one. I think we're going to have some mirror imaging comments.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I think what stands out about this game to me is this is a game that I think no matter what your fandom is, no matter which of the 30 teams you're a fan of, this is a game to watch. This was electric. Absolutely. It was just a back and forth grudge match, knockdown. And we actually saw something right at the very end, which was very interesting, which was Chapman getting Flores out. I think he popped out. And then the benches started to clear. There was some ugliness.
It was weird. Like
Flores said something to Chapman. Chapman initially was sort of de-escalating it, but then it seemed like he sort of came out. Very, very interesting stuff. And I kind of love that energy. You know,
I do.
Love a team that has that willingness to fight. And like you said, you know, with Dobbins going down, this is like one of those games that I think was very reminiscent of early in the season. But back then, we didn't come back. Tonight,
we did.
We took Hayden Birdsong, who has been very good this year. He's very young, has a lot of upside. I think he's about 23. Definitely looks it. He's very baby-faced. And he's been great this year. And we really took him to task. I heard something on the broadcast that in the first three innings of the game, he had like a 0.56 ERA or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we pounced on him in inning three. So that was really great to see. On top of that, we tacked on with the bullpen. Both teams used a lot of relievers. If you're going to have a game like that where you have to use your guys, you hope the other team can use theirs too. And sure enough, we did it, and we had a day off. Not sure if the Giants did. But just really good instincts, good base running, solid defense. Devers being overwhelmed by Chapman in the end. I mean, those two have had not necessarily a rivalry, because I don't think there's any personal bad blood there. But, I mean, you go all the way back to Devers hitting that, I think it was 104 mile per hour pitch, right, for a home run way back in 2017.
Yankee Stadium.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Was that his first career home run?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know. No. It could have been. But I mean, just ridiculous. It's the fastest pitch ever hit for a home run. I know that. And to have that tonight, like you said, 100 sort of in on the hands. I was almost worried that it was going to catch his elbow guard when he flinched back. But then 102, just at the top of the zone. And I'm astonished by Chapman, because this is a guy who, like you said, this dude has always struggled with control. he's going to go up there. He's going to throw gas. And every now and again, he's just going to toss a ball and no one knows where it's going to go.
Right.
This year, we have not seen that version of him. I don't know how a 37-year-old man suddenly develops control. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, whatever he's doing, it's working. And it's really nice to see. And one other thing is that one player that was the star of tonight's game was, up until his final at-bat, on a cycle watch. And that is Sadon Rafaela, the new Rafi. Just an electric, electric game. And this guy is having a ridiculous season so far. That brings his OPS on the year up to 710, which I believe is actually above average right now.
Right. Yeah. So there was a couple things with Sadon that, to your point, they're exciting. You have doubles down the line before Hammy hits it over the fence. There was a single that happened. Then he had the home run. He doesn't have the best plate discipline. And I'm really, really hoping that they can get that thing squared away, because damn it, if he can't, that's going to be really brutal. Birdsong and the other pitchers were actually pitching low outside because he was swinging at garbage and then kind of came to himself. Now, you mentioned something earlier about their starting pitcher. He did really, really good. But there was one pitch in particular that Birdsong threw that missed his dome by like 3 inches. And I do think that when that happens to you, you can't help but think that was almost not the game, but probably a good couple of months for me on the IL, if not the year or career. The Red Sox have had multiple pitchers and hitters get either hit in the face with a comebacker or took a shot to the face. The other thing that, you know, I really want to talk about was, you know, you mentioned the ninth inning fracas between Chapman and then Flores, but just a couple of moments before, it felt like you see Alex Cora and Andrew Bailey looking at the third base umpire going, that's two. And they're both going, and he's going, enough. And they go, okay, all right, but it's two. We're watching you, right? We're paying attention. That's a close one. And it sucked. It's bittersweet because Yastrzemski was the hitter. And then he ended up seeing ball three and then struck out. He slammed that helmet down. I'll always have a soft spot for him. Terry, if you have the chance to talk to him, will also say the same thing. Like, how nice would it have been to see, you know, multiple Yastrzemski generations together. But man, oh man, the team is starting to, they're starting to get fired up. And it's happening in a way that I didn't think I would see. Now, before this game started, I was actually starting to get annoyed. And I'm actually going to say thank you to Will Middlebrooks. So Middlebrooks was talking about this, and I forget who it was that asked him. I forget his name. And he said, you know, oh, well, Devers said, you know, during spring training, you know, if they'd asked me to take first base. And he said, well, that doesn't carry water. That doesn't make any sense. Your third baseman was Bregman. Your first baseman was Casas. No one thinks for one second that Casas is going to go down or Bregman's going to go down. Would it be great to, like, I don't know, field the balls at that position? Sure. But I'm never going to say, oh yeah, if they had asked me that, like, that just, it didn't make sense. So I think that was something that I think may have made him lose a little bit of steam, but I mean, damn. I mean, everything that could have gone right, even with the momentary lapses, this is, I think I can say this team is trending in the right direction. I was telling Terry several weeks ago, we're in trouble. We're not going to finish 500. We are out. We are done. And I am eating crow, crazy crow, because this team is exciting to watch. Like, I find myself now looking, okay, cool. What time is the game? All right, great. I'm going to start this game about 30 minutes late and I'll be good. I'll be able to fast forward through the commercials every 10 seconds, throw another pitch. And I'm going to be able to get this done in 2 hours. Now I don't want to do that anymore. Like, for some of the games, I was like, guys, I figured out a way to watch this game in 30 minutes because there's no point. Just watch like two innings where all the hits mm-hmm. happen and then you're set. But now I find myself waiting. Okay, cool. Game's at 10:10 for you Eastern Standard folks over there, 7:10 for me. I'm here at 6:30. I want to know, like, Pacific Standard Time. I want to watch pregame stuff. I want to hear what's happening. I'm excited again. And I don't know how many other people in the group are as excited as I am, but I'm amped. I'm very excited. Like, we keep winning series. If we lost this one, I would have said, you know what? It is what it is. But dude, here we are. We were 10 games out, 10 and a half games out. We're four now. Is that what you said?
Four now. Yeah. The Yankees are, floundering. One win in their last seven games.
They're scuffling. I don't think they won. Did they win today?
They don't. No. Lost to Baltimore.
So there you go.
Let me see what the score was. 5-3.
Yeah. That hurts. Yep. You know, but that's again, and that's with Aaron Judge hitting home run. Judge had another home run today.
Yep.
This team cannot, I mean, you're seeing now more than ever, your team cannot depend on one guy. It doesn't work. The loss of Soto dramatically hurt this team. Gerrit Cole, yes, in the rotation, dramatically hurt that team. But, I mean, you're starting to see, like, little things get put together, and it's all working out. I think, if I'm not mistaken, was it Roman Anthony that sailed that past Birdsong? I think it was Anthony. I don't remember.
You might be right on that. He smoked the ball. I know he hit a ball, I think, 112 miles per hour.
And that I don't think that Birdsong after that was feeling good.
You might be right. That could have been a turning point if you go back in this game.
Because you're right. 0.5 ERA through three innings. I didn't know it was that good, but geez. Yeah. He got worked. But
he really did. You know, got knocked out. Let me see, after 4.1. So only one more out than Dobbins. Gave up as many earned runs, as many unearned runs too, funnily enough. They had a very similar game in that regard. Dobbins, right. No swing and miss stuff tonight, which definitely is a bit alarming to see from him. But he's a rookie, and this is a guy who I get the feeling like he just cares. He cares a lot. He wants to come out here, and he loves being a Boston Red Sox, and he wants to just annihilate these teams. And, you know, it's a long flight out to the West Coast.
Sure.
Stuff's going to happen.
Absolutely.
This team is just electric. It's like you said, I'm eating crow too, and it tastes delicious, quite frankly.
It does.
You go back a couple weeks ago, and you'll hear me on air saying that this 15-game stretch, I was talking about it as it was approaching, and I was saying, this has a chance to bury us. The Yankees and the Rays are going to absolutely put us in the ground, and we will never recover. We're going to be selling by the end of the month. These guys have simply refused to yield, and they're looking better and better. I have a lot of faith in a lot of the dudes on this team. You know, Christian Campbell being optioned. Maybe we should talk about what we think about that, but I think it's the best thing for him.
Because his
swing just wasn't working. The discipline was there. He was walking a lot. I think he, at least up until recently, I'm not sure if he still was, but leading the league among rookies in walks. But the mechanics on those pitches inside, it just wasn't working for him. So I think that going down and getting into that just low-pressure environment, the idea that we can step away from the majors, don't worry about winning, just work on your swing, work on your defense, get a little more comfortable. I think that's a good idea. And, you know, I would have complained about doing it and saying, oh, David Hamilton is our solution. But tonight, we may very well not win this game without David Hamilton, as ridiculous as that is to say. So at least for tonight, that's perfectly fine with me.
Yeah, so when it came to Christian Campbell, they were talking about the fact that he got optioned. Devers obviously got traded. Willie Abreu came back. Campbell was the rookie of the month for April, right? Tearing the cover off the ball. First couple months, 18 runs. Last two, he's only scored six. Walks, he was drawing, let's see, I believe, 19 walks in the first month and change. Last 2 months, 10. So not the craziest, like, oh, wow, okay, cool, that's kind of interesting. It was almost 20 walks in 1 month as opposed to half that number in double the time. The other issue is his discipline that you were talking about, it slowly started to, you know, kind of dwindle away. And I think part of it was an increased amount of pressure that he had put on himself to exceed his own expectations. And unfortunately, that's a lot to put on a youngster. And Campbell, 22 years old, I don't think he's done. I don't think he's a one-hit wonder. I think he will come back. He just needed to reset the clock. Jeremy and I were talking about this on a prior show a while ago. A lot of people, you know, our former bench super utility guy on our show who was pretty negative on a consistent basis. Like, there's negative and then there's, you know, a bunch of crap and then there's him. He just wanted to DFA everybody. And Story was one of those people you want DFA, but my brain was going, you know, how do you completely annihilate the ball for the month of April? Look like Bambi on ice for May. And, you know, people are just, like, it just didn't make any sense. And Story's been able to turn it around. And I think the Atlanta series had something to do with it. But back to Campbell for a second. Regular reps, different level of competition, kind of catch up to everything, maybe find yourself a little bit more. There might have been some increased pressure. Oh, you know, there was also that the BS of, oh, Devers was upset that Campbell volunteered to play first base. He took that as a slight, and then we find out that's BS. So, you know, it just didn't make any sense. Like, Christian Campbell doesn't strike me as the type of guy to try to upset a teammate. You know, if Campbell's upset, there's probably a good reason. And I'm sure he was pretty heartbroken to get sent down, but he understood. Like, I'm not hitting. I'm not helping the team. It's a black hole for my number in the lineup. And there is somebody who's going to be coming back, Willy Abreu, albeit it's an outfielder, not an infielder, that's going to be probably doing a little bit better, a little bit more consistent work. Mm-hmm. And I need to earn my spot. And when it comes to Campbell, I wish him well. I don't think anybody thinks, oh man, he sucks, he's done. No, he's fun. He's a youngster with tenacity. I'm really hoping that people don't think, oh, we blew it. We gave him all that money. And it's, you know what? Save it. This team has had there's been a boatload of low points, very few high points. Kid was the rookie of the month for April. Just like I said with Trevor Story, I think a little bit of a time away for him will make a lot of difference. And I'm excited to see him come back refreshed. And who knows what happens. Maybe it's that first month where he's drawing walks on a consistent basis again. That's my two cents.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, he's 22. He's so young. They're going to work on his mechanics. He's going to come back in a few weeks, maybe a couple months at most.
Right.
And he's going to look good as new. You know, he might even look better. You can't count a kid out. I think anyone who does that is being very short-sighted. Right. I understood the DFA story stuff. Just, I nearly called him Short Story. That's he does play it short, I suppose. But,
yeah.
You know, I got it, but you're right. I mean, he's been better, especially versus lefties. He's been very good versus lefties, to the point where when Bregman comes back, if they're really insistent on having Meyer be sort of a platoon guy who is sort of sitting versus lefties so far this year, a Meyer Story platoon at short, I don't hate that. But, you know, speaking of platoons, Cora tonight, as much flack as I've given him and as much criticism as I think all of Red Sox fandom has had for him this year and in previous years, this guy made some good decisions tonight. He seemed to have a good feel for the game, and he seemed to be, and I don't want to sound too conspiracy-brained, I'm not going to suggest that he's happy Devers is gone. I know that some people are going to go in that direction. But he looked checked in tonight. And a few weeks ago, we were talking about how checked out he looked. He was all smiles. He was fired up. The umps were brutal tonight. There were a lot of weird calls, especially on check swings. I think there were three or four controversial check swing calls. Where, and that's exactly what you were talking about right at the end, where Cora and Bailey were losing their minds at the ump.
Right.
And I was astonished they didn't get tossed there.
Right.
I mean, kudos to the ump for saying, you know what, there's one more out or whatever in the inning. It's a close game. I'll let them bark, but you guys got to back off. But they were fired up. And, you know, again, a little after that, Cora came out of the dugout, just spoke with the ump a little bit. He was invested, and one move that he made, or rather didn't make, which I really appreciated, was he didn't take Abreu out versus a lefty. We had the lead. Abreu, obviously, his defense in right field is vastly superior to Ref Snyder. And so Cora didn't overthink it. He said, you know, there's one man on. I'm going to let Abreu hit here. And what did he do? He got a hit versus a lefty. That's the type of growth I want to see from these guys. And this was a huge game back for Abreu. After a bit of a stint on the IL, I don't think anyone was expecting him to come out and look like he was at the start of the year. Because sort of towards leading up to that injury, he was slumping a bit. But tonight was a massive game back for him. Just really, really good. Only one strikeout, two hits, including an RBI and a run. You got to love that.
So I want to take it a step further. We're talking about players like William Abreu that just came back. Now, we're talking about the platoon, Myron Story. When Bregman comes back, and he will come back, who goes? Right? Yeah. So you think about that. Okay, cool. Well, David Hamilton, you know, he brings the speed element, and that's always good to have off the bench. So I almost feel like he might be safe. Meyer's been torching it. Two-homer game at home, and he's been hitting the ball well, has been playing an elite hot corner, has been playing superb. That little kind of funky bobble at third base, I think he's here to stay. You have Roman Anthony, who's been struggling, hitting about a buck. I think there's a chance that maybe he's the odd man out and he gets sent back down to AAA, as crazy as that sounds. If you have the choice of keeping Bregman or Anthony on the team, I don't think there's a question. And there's going to be people that argue and say, you know, it should be Hamilton that goes. But if you don't have that, you know, elite set of wheels on the bench in the unlikely event that you need them, you're going to be hurting. I mean, the team almost had 240 stolen bases guys last year in Jaren Duran and David Hamilton. And I thought there was a pretty good chance it was going to happen. It's never happened in Red Sox history. I thought last year was going to be the first time. I don't see it happening this year, although Jaren Duran is going to, you know, have one of those hold my beer moments, I'm pretty sure. I'm really curious to see how the next two games go, because I think depending on how the Red Sox do in the next two games, I may double back and say, you know what? I said the Red Sox before the season started, the Red Sox are going to win. They're going to win the American League pennant. And then some games happen and we started playing like crap. And so far this month, 4-4. We've won 8 of our last 9, I think 8 of our last 10, whatever. I think if we can take this series, if we can sweep the Giants, and I'm not saying that it's possible, but if it does happen, I'm willing to go back on the record and say, you know what? Miracles do happen. Maybe the Tigers don't have it this year and the Red Sox have a chance to go back to the World Series this year. I'm going to go in long ball here and say it. I've been wrong before, but I'm just going long shot here. And I could be on Lonely Man Island. Before the season started, where did you see the Red Sox?
Yeah, I saw us as not even a dark horse. I saw us as challenging the Yankees and the Orioles for the division. I at least thought we were going to be a wild card team, 100%.
Right. So I think it was Terry. I think it was Terry and myself. And we said, Red Sox are going to win the division. We're going to win the American League pennant. And I'm pretty sure we both said Dodgers. I could be wrong. I think the Dodgers are going to take it this year. They're the most overpowered team. It's the best team we've seen in 125 years. It's literally an all-star team. In fact, I think you should probably put the best team you can against the Dodgers and have that be the all-star game or the World Series for that matter. But I'm being course corrected here. So Terry did say Phillies. I apologize, Terrence. But yeah, I mean, this team is doing things that we didn't think were possible, and they're able to make major adjustments. So first series against the Yankees, right? 3-game set. We outscored them 20. I tweeted about it. It was like 27-24, 27-23. The next time did not have the Red Sox sweeping the Yankees 3-0 and outscoring them 8-4. Did not have that in my playbook, on my bingo card, right? So again, I think, okay, of the players that need to make the most impact for me, I'm thinking, okay, William Abreu, if he can come back and really catch lightning in a bottle, that'd be great. Bregman, when he comes back, I don't anticipate him dropping off. I think he's going to keep, you know, tearing it up. And then as far as pitching goes, there's only one pitcher that I'm really hoping can flip it around, and that's Walker Buehler. Oh, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that Walker Buehler is doing what he's doing, because people thought, oh, he's a lock. Giolito, he's gone. Giolito's pitching like a borderline ace at times. Six innings, 10 strikeouts. Walker Buehler getting torched. And granted, it was Seattle. Cal Raleigh, who's leading the majors in home runs with 29, hit a grand slam against him. That sucks. When you get a grand slam hit against you, that nerfs your game in its entirety. But I mean, Buehler's had a lot of clunkers this year, and I'm a huge Buehler supporter. I think if Buehler can turn it around and get back on, you know, the right page, and then you have Bregman come back healthy, ready to roll, and then Willy Abreu can get back to where he's been, I really don't think there's going to be anything that stops the team. They're going to be taking 2 out of 3 series. It may not be sweeps, but if you win 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4, even split a 2-2 and 2 out of 4, this team is going to eventually be, you know, 10 games over 500, and they could find themselves, you know, 90 and 70, you know, something crazy, 88 and whatever, 70, whatever that is, 74. So it's possible. I think this team can do it. Like I'm again, putting my hand up, raising my hand, Charlie's saying it, the Red Sox are back again. We're here.
We're really close. I mean, we have the opportunity to really build on this, I think. I think the foundation is in place right now, and we're not out on 2025. I know a lot of people have been saying it's a punt. I don't see it as a punt. Right now, we still have, what's this guy's name? Nate, I think. Yeah, Nate Eaton, still on the roster at the moment. So whoever comes back, he goes, obviously. But you're right. So we bring back Bregman. But then what happens when it's time to bring back Yoshida? What happens when Campbell plays well enough to warrant a comeback? You're right. It does feel like there's still a couple too many cooks in the kitchen.
Right.
You have Jaron Duran and Willy Abreu in ways serving a similar role on the team. You have a great glove. You have a great bat versus righties. And that's kind of some overlap that does worry me, because Yoshida does not have a great glove. He would need to DH.
Has no glove.
He's a bat versus righties.
Right,
I almost wonder, with Yoshida, he could come back now, right? If Ohtani was able to hit, despite not being a pitcher, with that injury, I forget exactly what it was. It was in his elbow, right?
Ohtani had, it was, he's had 2 Tommy John surgeries, and then 3rd surgery, Terry and I were actually looking it up. It was, you're catching me. I should have had this one down. I think it was,
I can't remember it either.
Yeah. It was a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. That's what it was. I thought it was labrum, but I didn't want to misspeak.
So he was able to hit through that. In theory, Yoshida could hit. He could hit all year long. I almost wonder if we aren't using this injured list type of thing to almost try to build back his trade value a little bit, because he's not coming back until he can throw, right? Obviously, a guy who can at least throw in the outfield has some value as an outfielder. I just don't see how we have Duran, Abreu, and Yoshida on this team all at the same time. It's just tough because Yoshida obviously is the odd man out, but he's also the least desirable for a trade candidate.
100%. 100%. So then that begs the question then, to your point, it's a really good question. Do you have any inkling? Do you think that the Red Sox, after already sending Devers, you know, Moonlight Sonata to San Francisco, do you think there's a chance that either Willy Abreu or Jaron Duran get packing?
I can see
how
that was in the cards.
Yeah.
Because it was in the cards before the Devers trade. I said, someone needs to go.
Right.
And it's still kind of the same thing. This outfield is very, very crowded. And you said Anthony could get optioned. You're right. He had a good game today. He hit a home run the other day.
But, and it's hard hit. He's hitting the hell out of the ball, but it's not very consistent.
But I could see Anthony being sent down to AAA, and they're just like, dude, it's not even you. You know, it's us. We're stacked right now. We're crowded. Right. Just take your option, go back down, work out with Campbell, you know, say hey to all the guys down there again. You know, Anthony, he's the type of guy where I really have a high estimation of him just as a dude, you know, as a character. And I think he would just be like, oh, yeah, no problem. You know, I think he'd get it.
Sure.
You know, he strikes me as the type of guy who would get it. And he strikes me as a dog who's going to work on his stuff. But I think this offense has what it takes, especially with the guys getting healthy. I think what the pitching staff needs, because I have a lot of faith in this bullpen, especially when Hicks comes back. I think he's dealing with some inflammation in his toe right now. Once he comes back, I can see him being a nice high leverage bullpen arm. And we kind of have an abundance of high leverage bullpen arms. Maybe he would bump Whitlock down to a lower pressure situation. Whitlock was looking very good in his past several appearances, but then tonight looked very shaky, three base runners. It's interesting though. You know, I think that we have that depth and that's a great thing to have. The one thing we need is first off to have just in general, our guys stay healthy. We really have gotten our injuries out of the way, hopefully up front for this year. We dealt with a lot of starting pitching injuries right at the start of the year and some even coming into the year. We lost Abreu for a stretch. We've obviously lost Bregman. We lost Casas. Sure. I'm hoping that we can just stay healthy now from here on out.
Right.
But what we really need is we need a pitcher, a starter, either to be brought in, a true number two, or, like you said, we need a guy, whether it's Giolito, whether it's Buehler, whether it's Bayo, whether it's Dobbins, whether it's a guy like Crawford, you know, who could come off the IL and suddenly stun us, whether it's a guy like Fitz, who could continue his rehab and come back looking like he looked. But we need a guy to go with Crochet. We need a guy to be another anchor in that rotation, because you can't win anything with just one great starting pitcher, you know?
Right.
It's a best of seven at the end of the day if you get to the World Series or the championship games.
Yeah. So, you know, and here's another thing too. We talked about today's game. It wasn't pretty with the starters at all. For, you know, we're not even going to try to pretend. But Dobbins in his first game with the Yankees, I think it was, did he pitch five innings or five and a third? I can't remember.
I think so. It was something like that.
Zero strikeouts. He's had zero strikeouts in that game. Then he comes back, does much better, and then pitches six innings, strikes out five. And I'm thinking, okay, cool. Pitcher made the adjustment. Pitcher's reading the room, changing up the game, because it's not he's not a guy that's like, okay, I'm going to go five, six innings, and I strike out one maybe. No, he had struck out four or five a couple of times. I mean, he struck out seven Orioles earlier this year too. So it's one thing where, you know, we've talked about it. Is Hunter Dobbins the second best pitcher in your rotation? I don't know if I would commit to that, but I would say that I don't mind seeing Dobbins' name in the rotation. I don't mind seeing Bayo's name in the rotation after the last performance he gave. Absolutely hold my six pack. Forget about my beer.
Right.
And I believe he's going tomorrow. I think he's on the pitchers, one of the pitchers for tomorrow. So that's actually one thing I'm really excited to talk about. So starters for tomorrow, who do we have?
Yeah, absolutely. Tomorrow, it is going to be a 4:05 p.m. Eastern time start.
Okay.
Brian Bayo versus Landon Roop. Roop has been very good for the Giants this year. I mean, so was Birdsong, though. Overall, the Giants, I would say their whole rotation looks pretty nasty.
Right.
And then the day after, it will be another 4 p.m. start, and that will be Giolito versus Robbie Ray. And Robbie Ray right now tough. That guy is striking out guys like nobody's business. You know how, what is it? I think the Red Sox do it with the Jimmy Fund, right? Like for every strikeout, they donate some amount of money to the Jimmy Fund.
Yeah.
Robbie Ray would be emptying pockets if he was pitching on this team. He's a beast right now. 97 strikeouts this year.
Wow.
Good K per nine, well-rounded pitcher. I mean, this is going to be a test for us, but I almost like the test, because ultimately tough opponents show you who you are. I don't want to be one of those teams that sneaks into the playoffs and gets bounced in the wild card, you know?
Right.
If we reach there, I want us to really contend. And I kind of love that Bayo and Giolito are going these next two games, because we're going to see exactly what they're made of.
Right. Robbie Ray, I mean, that's a name I feel like I haven't heard in a couple of years, because he's been injured. He hasn't been able to put a quality season together. But I remember when Robbie Ray was in Arizona, I was like, please, Boston, please get this guy. Please, for all things that are holy, please get this man. They didn't end up getting Ray. It just ended up happening. So Bayo is pitching against who? What's his name?
Landon Roop.
Okay, I don't think I know him.
He's pretty young. I think he came up last year with the Giants.
Okay, and then Robbie Ray is pitching on Sunday against who for us?
Giolito.
Okay, cool. Who do you have winning the Red Sox? Red Sox or Giants in game two?
You know, I don't even say this to be a downer, but I really think we drop this series. I think Devers is due for a home run, due for a good game. I think we drop the next two, which is why I'm so happy that we took game one.
Okay. Full transparency, I have to look at this guy's line because I don't know. I don't know this pitcher that we're facing from San Francisco for game two. Because of that, because I don't know him, I'm assuming, okay, Bayo's just going to build on what he's done. And I could be completely wrong. He could get shelled, right? Just like Bueller. But I'm hopeful, right? Robbie Ray, if he's pitching as well as he has, I think does have an edge, even though Giolito did spend several years in the National League before. I think it was 2 years with the Nats before he came to Chicago. I'm not 100%. God, that hurts. Let's see. I think we're going to beat Roop. I think we're going to win game two. Dude, I think we're going to win game two. And sadly for Giolito, man, this hurts. I really want to say sweep, but I'm sure that's going to be really hard to do for the Red Sox. So I'm going to say we split the remainder of the series, but that's good enough to say that we won it. So the Red Sox are going to shock the Giants, and they're going to win game two. They'll drop game three. I know we typically pick wins and losses based on the starting pitchers, but if Robbie Ray is really doing damage like that, I mean, it's going to be hard to say, no, he can't do it. Giolito does have 12 innings in his last two starts, only allowing one run not earned with 14 punchouts. There is that.
I mean, so, if you really look at it, Giolito has had really three bad starts all year.
Yeah.
And you know that's pretty
Screw
much
it. I'm calling sweep.
You're
I'm
going for the it. Sweep.
I'm going sweep here. And you know what?
I love
Lori,
that.
If you know, Lori, I know she's listening. She's probably listening right now going, Charlie, no. I'll get a message on Twitter and a DM saying, why would you do that? But I think it was somebody else. If I picked a sweep, I don't think it was bad, but Terry or somebody else, if they picked a sweep, they wouldn't get it. I'm going to do it. We're going to test it out.
I mean, we're seeing weird stuff already this game. It's a weird park. It's, you know, you never know with the wind. Right. Guys like David Hamilton are hitting home runs. Anything could really happen. I know both Ray and Roop this year, both of them have been pretty low home run per nine guys. I'm sure that pitching in Oracle probably has something to do with that.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I like your pick versus Roop. I think he's a good guy to jump on because over the past many years, and I have no numbers to back this up, but purely from a vibes stance, right? It feels like the Red Sox have just been a very, very good team at shocking young pitchers.
Right.
So I think we have a shot.
Here's the other thing. And one person just brought this up. So George White, I'd like to personally shout you out. And this is something I want to talk about too. The Red Sox beat the Giants without Rafael Devers. The Giants added Rafael Devers and still lost.
Yeah.
So not only were you desperate for the biggest left-handed power bat your team has had since Barry Bonds, you literally just took a player from the team you're facing and you lost the first game. So truth be told, who's going to know you better than your team? Nobody. And of course, 0-for-5, you strike out against one of the, you know, most dominant closers in baseball right now. But I mean, your big midseason, shock midseason trade during the year acquisition, whatever, was a complete non-factor. You literally could have put any other player in there, regardless, wouldn't have mattered.
That's true.
And here's the thing. Devers is not a bad hitter. We know this. 500 career extra base hits, 215 home runs, something like that. as a member of the Red Sox, I think is what they said. Credit Obi for that one. But you know what? Singles and doubles are going to be his like haven in San Francisco. I can't picture him being the Barry Bonds-esque McCovey Cove visiting, you know, home run hitting monster that he was. I just don't see it. Like, he's always been the sprinkle it around the park, like some to left, some to center, some to right. But his numbers are going to take a hit. And here's the thing. If Devers gets shut down for the next two games, there's a pretty good chance the Red Sox not only win two, but they sweep. And Robbie Ray could pitch out of his mind. And the same thing could happen with Giolito. But right now, I think I still like the Red Sox offense more than the Giants right now, even with Devers there, who can't, at least against the Red Sox, I think the Red Sox have a very, very good chance to break some hearts.
Well, you know, to your point about Devers, first off, you're right. Tonight, he was an absolute non-factor. The Giants had 15 base runners, 7 hits, 8 walks.
Right.
Devers was not a single one of them.
Not
he wasn't
a
able to get a single RBI, not even a sac fly. So I think with Devers, what we're going to see with him becoming a Giant is, can he adjust his swing? I think he probably can.
He's
probably going to start pulling more, and he'll probably start to, you know, really become a beast of the Bay. I can see that. Mm. But, you know, to your point, not just about Devers, but about Barry Bonds and what you said earlier about how, like, one guy like Aaron Judge doesn't make a team. The Giants didn't win 3 World Series in 5 years until they got rid of Bonds.
That's
true. I'm not saying that they're, you know, that Bonds wouldn't have helped that team.
Sure.
It is interesting to see that stuff.
That is interesting. You're right. That was Giants were 2010, 2012, 2014.
Yep.
They won every other year. It was one on, one off, one on, one off.
And Bonds left in 2007 or 8, I want to say.
I don't remember.
Somewhere around there. I might be completely off for all I know.
No, you're probably on it. but you're totally right. And this is an interesting baseball season because it's very rare that you have almost all the sexy names playing in one league. Almost all the fun names are in the National League and predominantly either the NL East or the NL West. Now you have pitchers and hitters for the Cubs and the Pirates that are starting to make names. Majority of the teams that you're going to want to watch are National League teams. Sorry. That's just a statement of fact.
Absolutely.
I mean, you have the 5-star Los Angeles Dodgers that have like no glaring holes. And then you've got, you know, obviously the Giants, who I still think are a really good team. The Padres, I just went to the Padres-Dodgers game. There was theatrics and fireworks and not actual fireworks, but players getting hit and just messages being sent. And I saw Doc Rivers getting thrown out just walking out of the field. It was crazy. But like that type of stuff, I want to see that kind of stuff, that kind of fire. I want it. And here's the thing. We have one commenter saying, all right, guys, it's a small sample size. It's June. I get that. But you know what? Dude, you swept the Yankees. You just baptized the Giants at their house. And granted, it was back and forth. And I am going to say baptized because you did it without your biggest bat. And you faced that bat along with that entire team. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say this is a small sample size. To your point, you're absolutely correct, but we're only going to keep building on it. I really, really do
think. I hope
think
so.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling frisky. This team is frisky, and I love it. I love every second of it.
I agree with you. I mean, we've got a lot of speed on the base paths. We've got a lot of just dudes in the dugout. And
I like right that now, line.
I mean, I'm feeling, I mean, I, it's hard to even say pessimistic, right? I think we're going to drop the next two games. But I don't even think that's necessarily like, it's not a worst case scenario. A sweep would have really hurt. Taking one, dropping two, I'm fine with that. We're above 500. And after this, because funnily enough, I've been looking at this 15 game window. We are going to LA, you know, for the Angels. Maybe we can get a little revenge on them. I know that they sort of, funnily enough, we played the Angels and they whooped us in. Did we win one of those games? Let me see. Yeah, they took the series 2-1. And then that sort of sent us into the Yankees, into the Rays and the Yankees, you know, so we're going back to the Angels. It's sort of where this win streak began. We'll see what's going to happen there. We're going home after that. You got the Blue Jays, you got the Reds. Then you're going down to the Nationals, coming back home versus the Rockies, the Rays. So rest of these next few weeks, we're going to see what we can do. We are either in a position to round third base and fall flat on our face trying to come home, or we're going to score. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Either way, regardless of these next two games, I just want to see guys perform well. If we lose tomorrow and the next day, that's fine. But I want to see solid starts. I want to see promising bullpen, you know, progression. And I want to see some good at-bats. And at the end of the day, we might be 40 and 39, and I'll be pretty happy.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, to your point, I mean, you mentioned, I think the line of the show happened, or, you know, 4 seconds into it, where you said, this is probably one of the most complete games we put together. And after that, I was like, crap, okay, full stop, close the show, let's do another one. Because you're absolutely right. Like, everything that you saw, it was starting to come together. And naturally, okay, cool. It wasn't perfect. And there's no such thing as perfection. You know, Garrett Whitlock has blips. There was an error. And that's part of baseball. It's the human aspect of the game. But you're right. Like, you saw an error, dust it off, hit a two-run homer, you've atoned, moving on. Turn the page. Let's see what else we can do. Then there was the back and forth of just the fighting and not just rolling over and taking it. It was just, like you said, one of the more complete games we've put together. And I honestly feel that that fight alone is propelling me to be confident again about this team. Like, things could go bad. We could lose. Like, the Mariners game where we lost 8-0, to be like, yeah, it sucked, but you know what? Right before that, didn't we just win 6 in a row? So, okay, you're bound to lose one. It just sucked that, you know, outside the Grand Slam, you lost 4-0 and Cal Raleigh went off. But that's it. You know, it is what it is. And move on, turn the page, and what do? We win the last game, crochet day, which is, as I've been saying all year long, a crochet game is a must-win game, period. You just have to win 2 of the other 4 games. If you can do that, you're a playoff team. Mm-hmm. If you can win 3 of those 4, you are a contender. Like, you're going. So, I feel like that's literally all I've got. Anything else you want to add?
No, not at all. I think the last thing I'll say is that you're absolutely right. I think, I mean, really, if Dobbins, and I know it's the if game, but if Dobbins, like, throws one more inning and lets in one less run, I mean, that's not a terrible start. That's winnable, you know?
Absolutely. So,
and he won it anyway. This is a team game. At the end of the day, there's 26 guys. Certain guys are going to stumble. It's up to the other guys to pick them up. David Hamilton had that error. He stumbled. He picked himself up, funnily enough. Dobbins stumbled. Bernardino, Kelly. I mean, guys stepping up that we thought were washed. If I told you that Bernardino and Kelly were coming out after Dobbins gave up 5 runs in 4 innings, we'd all go, oh, typical Red Sox. It's over.
Well, me, especially for Bernardino, because Bernardino, not the sexy name for me. I mean, that game against, was it Tampa Bay that he was taken out and he was throwing the glove? And
yeah, I think so. I didn't like that. Turned his arm to jelly in the month of May. Too much use.
Right.
But to see him have a good performance, I mean, I'm so psyched for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we'll see if we can't keep building on this, you know?
Absolutely.
And fingers crossed, only one way to know for sure, and that's let's watch the games this weekend. I'm glad that we're getting an earlier start the next 2 days for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, exactly.
Alrighty. I've been Nick, joined tonight by Charlie and all of you wonderful listeners out there. And we have been the Bastards of Boston. Thank you so much for chatting with us, listening to us, and we will see you next time. Take care.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.